don't even want to say we sold, but we helped over 50, 60 people this month.
Can we build with cheap materials, or do we want to build with the higher end quality?
We can now offer a lot more solutions and offers in this marketplace. Do they have an engineering team behind them? If you needed engineering, do they have a permitting team? Can they get their permits?
Guys, welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Tiny Home Podcast, the number one podcast in the world powered by Saddlebuck. Guys, I'm over here with Kyler and Colton again. What's up? Hey.
Let's go.
Every single week.
Every week.
Yeah, we can't skip a week, correct?
That is correct.
Colton almost skipped today. Yeah, Colton almost skipped today. Can we start with that?
Hey, he's about to skip today. I don't know what he was doing.
No, hey, I didn't skip today. I'm a guy that has a calendar. And I did decline his invite this morning and moved it to 8:45. It's 8:41. We're live.
That's it, guys.
I'm a calendar guy. Okay.
Yeah. So here's what happened. I got declined for 8 a.m. And now we're here at 8:40 for Colton. He's the CEO. So,
you know, I guess we work around his calendar, I guess. Yeah. I mean,
no, totally joking, guys. But I want to start off this podcast on a super positive note. How about the month we're having?
Man, it's incredible. Like every single day is we're getting to meet, you know, a lot of new customers, a lot of new faces. And, you know, quite frankly, it's amazing what God is doing in Saddlebrook. Every day's a new day.
Yeah, exactly. This month we're having a killer month. We're helping. I think we've sold over, I don't even want to say we sold, but we helped over 50, 60 people this month. People, and it's crazy because the dynamic shift recently has been, we're not even selling these homes. We're more like home experts, home consultants. Mm-hmm. We're not there to push a sell. What we're there is to make sure they have all
the... If you're the right fit.
Exactly. Every time I talk to a customer this month or one of our beloved clients, it has been, hey, what's the perfect house for you? What's your perfect interior and exterior? And that's really it. It's not really selling. We're not trying to push this down your throat. We're literally changing lives. And I think I'm going to mention that every episode. We're changing lives with every single home that we sell.
One team, one dream. And that's what it's all about, is how can we help each and everyone that walks in this door? Are we a good fit or are we not a good fit? Is Saddlebrook the, you know, are we the company that you buy a home from? Number one thing is do the research. No matter if you're buying in Indianapolis or Colorado or Arizona, no matter which company you're doing, you should do the homework. You should look at the company that you're buying from and make sure, like, hey, are they building the way you want it built? Are they building 2x4, 16-inch on center? Are they using spray foam? How efficient are those things, right? So that's what's changed for us, is saying, hey, if we're not the right company, we're not the right fit, then you don't have to buy it. Like, we want to help people. We want to move the needle. We want to make an impact. And I believe that we're number one in doing that, is making sure that, you know, we get you into the right home.
Yep. And I don't know how you feel about this, Colton, but we've just gotten so much better at identifying who we can help and who we can't. And it's not that we're trying to be mean. I look at it more like, the quicker we identify the people we can help, the bigger impact we make. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I think every customer or every company has what they call a customer profile of, you know, their ideal customer profile. And yes, we have figured that out, but since our, you know, finance options have come available, we can now, you know, offer a lot more solutions and offers in this marketplace. You know, Kyler was mentioning just that, you know, when let's just say in this industry, we've seen a lot of scammers, we've seen a lot of companies that, you know, they're just a mom and pop shop, or they're just a one off. They're going to be here tomorrow, but they're not going to be here in 6 months. We've seen a lot of those. And what I think what Kyler was saying on, you know, let's say you're in Colorado or California or Arizona, wherever you might be, there's key things that you need to watch out for when you're buying a new home. You know, people will try to get money from you. There's a lot of scammers out there. There's a lot on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
We've recently seen that.
Yeah. We had recent custom, because we have our Facebook group, the Tiny Home. What is it called?
Tiny Homes and Tiny Home Shed Home or something like that.
And we had a couple of our customers that called in saying, hey, they're getting scammed out there.
Right. So a couple key factors that you can look at is look at their reviews. You know, get on the phone with them, talk to them. You know, do they have an engineering team behind them? If you needed engineering, do they have a permitting team? Can they get their permits? You know, can they do your concrete? Can they do their hookups? What all can they do? And I think the number one thing is go to their place. Go to their place of where they build and see who they are. See where they build. And if just a red flag, if it's their house of where they're meeting you at, that's a red flag to me.
Why would someone, though, if you're a customer and you're making $100,000 purchase, why would someone want to go do a site visit?
Well, you see who they're buying from.
Right.
I mean, in this day and age, sure, online is good and Tesla has its own thing. You know, you buy through the app, stuff like that, but you're buying a house. And if you don't know who's building your house or contracting your house out, but you go to their house and that's the only thing they have is a house to show you, and you know, you walk into the kitchen and they're saying, yeah, I can build you that. Well, where are you going to build it? You know, do they have a facility? How many can they build? Do they build to the quality that you want it to be built? Is the price right? Do they have the team? And are they going to be around for the next 5 years? If there's any warranty that you need done, is that company going to be able to warranty their home?
Yeah.
There's a lot of key factors that play into it, but just, guys, be safe.
Just playing devil's advocate here, what do you say to our customers? Because, our reach has gotten so big that people are buying sight unseen with us. And that's just the truth.
Right? But you also, the reason is, you have a brand voice, you have a brand identity, but you have a trusted brand.
Yeah.
And if, you take a company like Walmart or Tesla or any of the biggest brands out there.
You'll go online at Walmart and buy something online.
Or Amazon.
Amazon.
You buy anything on Amazon, sight unseen as well. So, the biggest thing is look at their brand. Are they out there? You know, look at their Google reviews. What are people saying about them? What's the experience that other customers have had with them? That's the biggest thing. Yeah. And if that company has a brand that's a trusted brand, look at their Better Business Bureau. Look at all of those things. They matter.
Or even ask for referrals to call previous customers. Absolutely. Hey, are these real? Are these real reviews or are they not? So ask for, hey, give me three people to call that have received your product, and let me get their input,
their opinion.
Yeah. So I agree. The biggest thing that we're seeing in this market is the tiny home space, is the modular space, because we're offering so many different products. You know, we're offering a shed, backyard storage. We're offering a tiny home. We're offering a bigger modular home, 3-bed, 2-bath. Is this market here to stay around? And the answer is yes, because it's affordable homes. So do the research, do your due diligence, go do a site visit, call some people. Before you give them $15,000, we had a customer get scammed for $15,000. It wasn't one of our customers. They thought they were buying something from us. Someone took our pictures and put it online and screenshotted them. And then, so I'm like, do your homework, call, make sure, go to saddlebrooklife.com, go on our website, give us a call, give one of our home experts a call.
And another thing that you can do, if you're like, this is a very good tip. If let's say you're in Colorado or North Carolina and you want to just see, are these people real? We'll call them and say, hey, I want to FaceTime and do a facility tour with FaceTime.
Yep.
We'll do a Zoom call with you guys. We'll take you and do a 360 tour of our whole facility, where we start, where we build everything, where our materials are kept. We'll do all of it. And so, if you can't ask that from somebody and they're like, well, why would I have to show you that? That's a red flag.
Yeah.
And we actually love doing, FaceTime calls. Mm-hmm. How many FaceTime calls have we done?
A ton.
Quite a few.
Yeah, that's just and how just we build trust.
Trust, right? You see face-to-face who you're dealing with, who you're calling. You see, the rep that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You put a name and a face together. Now you know who you're talking to, and you create that relationship. And if they say no, that's a red flag.
Right.
And all that brings me back to our customer service. We are going above and beyond for everyone and doing things that nobody else is willing to do. I want to get back to that point later, because I do want to get into our first topic, some viewer questions. So I actually had a viewer named Jason. Jason, if you're watching, shout out Jason. All the way from Illinois. Okay. And his question was, can we better define the turnkey aspect? We briefly kind of touched it on the other podcast, but what does turnkey actually mean? If a customer hands us a check ready to build their house, what are their responsibilities and what are ours? A through Z, what do we do?
That term, yes. Great question, Jason. The beginning is, what all do you want us to do? Do you want a complete turnkey project to where turnkey means you give me a check and 4 months later you're walking in that house and moving furniture in? That's turnkey. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can do your concrete foundation, plumbing, engineered plans. Septic. You know, let's say, you know, we're working with a project in Colorado and, you know, you have to have an engineered plan, concrete, structural, everything. So, you know, you're dealing with frost depth and, you know, a lot of other permits that we have to get. We can do all of that. We can get your engineering, civil plans, site plans. The only thing that we might need from you would be setting up your electrical meter, because it's got to be in your name. If you need a water meter, it's got to be in your name. So there's some homework that you guys have to do on the front end.
But it won't be that format.
But turnkey, for a little bit of clarity, is you've got your appliances. You've got, I mean, you literally go plug it up, put the electric on.
Turnkey means moving your furniture in and just moving in.
Right.
Yeah. Quite literally. That's turnkey.
We do all permits. We do all concrete foundations, everything.
Right. We have a permit.
If you need any engineering done, we have a whole engineering on the back team. They're awesome. Shout out to Philip if he's watching this.
Shout out, Philip.
And
he's... Philip is awesome. No, he's
really hooking it up.
He's
awesome.
His whole team is.
His team is awesome. On that Colorado deal that you're talking about, he's finding solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need. When you work with people who are proactive instead of reactive, that's what you get.
Yep.
When you're reactive, you find out we run into problems, we run into everything, and they quit. Especially now that we're growing, we're trying to figure out how to deliver to North Carolina, Illinois, Michigan. Listen, if we were reactive, we would just cry about it and then stay local. But we're proactively trying to find solutions. And with people like Philip and his team, they find solutions.
They've opened up so many doors for us. Let me hit on the point.
Yeah, they're licensed in 20
a year, 20 a year ago, states. Not even a year ago, back in 2023, we were not delivering into Arizona, Colorado, Mississippi, Alabama, none of those states. Now we're going to Iowa. We're going to Colorado. We're going to Arizona. We're going into New Mexico. We're going to Mississippi, Alabama,
Mississippi today,
Tennessee.
Tomorrow.
So there's all those states that we've been so creative in trying to figure out, hey, how can we get in these states?
It's so funny. I had a customer of mine that she literally, Kyler, drove from Mississippi.
Yeah,
took
I remember
a two,
that.
3 day road trip to buy one of our homes. She saw it online.
Yeah.
I think she saw us on TikTok or something. And there's like TikTok is so great. Like I was looking at, you know, just the amount of reach that we're doing with TikTok, and it's amazing. Just the last 7 or 28 days, it's in the millions.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's a big platform that we're reaching all of these people. And, you know, let's say you go to Colorado. I've talked to so many customers in Colorado, and the viewers that are in Colorado, you ask them and say, why is your home more affordable to ship from Texas to Colorado? Well, the reason is the builders in Colorado, they're at minimum $150, $200 a square foot starting price.
Yep.
And they go $400 per square foot. Well, yes, you can absolutely even deliver hours for cheaper, even though you spend a few grand in delivery cost.
And it's not even in Colorado, but any state above Colorado. Mm-hmm. If you were going to go into California, Wyoming, when you think of Wyoming, you don't think of expensive, but yes, it is.
The buildings are they're all so stretched out.
Yeah. You know, so you are paying more. When you come to Texas, even hypothetically speaking, not that it will happen, we can add a ridiculous, unrealistic $40,000 shipping fee, and it'll still be cheaper.
Still be cheaper than building it on site.
Yeah, which is crazy. Insane. That is insane. So I feel like this question flows in with our conversation, but where will Saddlebrook expand to next? Where have we seen that we need a Saddlebrook in this specific place?
I mean, Chris, that is a great question. But you take a look at the statistics of like what state sold the most manufactured modular homes, tiny homes. Texas is the number one state. Sold over 19,000 homes last year. The second state would be Florida. You know, I'm looking at the top 10 of actually... You know, there's some states that are easier for the codes. And obviously, I want to go to, you know, the states that are actually calling for. Oklahoma, you know, they sold, I believe, over 2,500 homes. Arizona, right there with them. So you take a look at the states that are actually passing bills, passing regulations for these homes because they see a need, they see a crisis, and they're like, what additional housing can we put in the state that will turn the affordable living into a reality? And Texas is the leading state. So I'm just glad I'm in Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know, we haven't even really hit Austin, Houston, San Antonio, West Texas, Amarillo, Texas.
And that's the funny part because when we talk
Texas
about
Texas is so big. We've got so much work expanding. To do and still in Texas. Like,
we talk about expanding. I put in some zip codes where customers want our homes, and they're in West Texas. It's actually closer to go all the way to Illinois than all the way west.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Texas is huge.
That's how huge it is.
Huge.
You can drive for, I think, a whole day from across Texas and still not get to the other side.
Yeah, which is crazy. So, yeah, you're right. I feel like if we were to expand, Texas would be...
We're going
to
go where, just when you we started this podcast, you said, hey, we're getting down closer to where the people that we can help, the people that want to buy a home from Saddlebrook. Those are where we're going to, that's where, how we're going to make our decision on where's the biggest demand, where are our customers living, where is our home needed, where are they for the affordable space, that's where we're going to make a decision,
and,
you know?
And a big, if you guys want to look this up, and this is for investors as well, they're called Mobile Loaves and Fishes, Serving Goodness in Austin, Texas. I'm looking at a community like that. They have 500 plus tiny homes. It's all affordable living. Look at, look it up on the website. It is mlf.org, Community First. That's the community there in Austin. And so I'm looking at projects like that, and how can we partner with those people and bring, you know, 300, 400, 500 homes at a time, and, you know, you build a whole community out of it. That community there in Austin, Texas, it's massive. But just... there's so much of a variety of homes there. So from 20,000 to 200,000, and it's just like a community there. So it's a nonprofit, I believe.
And that's awesome.
Because and so when you ask, where are we expanding to? I mean, I want to get more into that as well. I mean, how can we put homeless shelters everywhere that, you know, the need for homeless is everywhere. So, you know, partnering with nonprofits on that, of bringing those houses to reality, it's affordable housing.
I was doing some research the other day. I know you were talking about Austin, but I did it on Houston. The Section 8 waiting list in Houston is 7 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
we can
insane.
Put, yeah, we can put,
it's insane.
We could put 1,000 homes in Houston and still have a shorting of homes.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of flows into my next question. My next question was going to be, not a question, but I wanted to touch on our affordable teacher housing opportunity that we just released.
Huge.
Yeah,
it's huge. I mean, teachers, there's so many teachers, for sure, for the rural, you know, the small town schools.
And you're really talking to the principals and the school boards here.
I mean, right, but they don't have a, you know, let's just say we need to, let's say you're a small school, you don't have much, you know, in a small town, there's not really any housing for sale. There's, like here in our little town, there's nothing to rent.
No.
It's insane. There's nothing to rent. Nothing
and,
to rent.
And the teachers make what? What's the average? Can you research the average salary of a teacher real quick, Chris?
It might be in the 40,000.
What, 49,000? So they can't.
No, 49? No. Do the research.
42?
Let me see.
They might make 100,000. If you make 100,000.
59,000.
59,000?
Okay. But then we're talking about now rural communities where everything is less.
If you go to a small town in Oklahoma, you think they're getting 59,000?
I mean, the principal might, you know.
But if you're a teacher and you're making over 59,000 in a small town in Oklahoma, then please reach out because we want to help you with a home.
but no, what we're like, what we're helping is the actual board is coming together and building, you know, on campus.
Yeah.
So they're putting these, you know, these that affordable project. Housing on campus. And you know what's the great thing, Chris? Is they're attracting teachers from other schools because their housing is right there. Yeah. They can stay there five days a week.
They can bring their family
home,
in,
bring their families,
kids in.
Bring their wife, whatever, or their husband, and they can live on campus.
Give them a totally
and,
new lifestyle.
You know, and that, you know, in some cases, like, I'm not even sure how much they, if they're charging the teachers anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes
and it's attracting more teachers.
Sometimes they put it in their contract, like, hey, we're going to provide free housing if you come.
Yeah.
If they're a valuable teacher and you want if the school wants that teacher, I think they're going to put it in the contract.
And just imagine the efficiency. A lot of teachers come into the school, they stressed. I mean, they have these long drive, especially if you live in a rural community.
You got to drive so far. I mean,
you literally won't see nothing for hours.
And you know, the late nights that a teacher has, and then they have to drive home versus, you know, they're walking back to their own house. It's still private. It just
creates for a happier environment. Yeah. I mean, you're going to treat the students better. Mm-hmm. It's like a trickle-down effect that mm-hmm. we're trying to 100%. Create. And the opportunity is open. If there's anyone there that does need affordable teacher housing, student housing in some cases, we got you guys.
And that's not just in Texas. Chris, what all states do we offer? What, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana,
Colorado.
We're doing some in Iowa. Yeah, we're doing some. Where's the other ones that we're doing? The six. We're doing the two piece, the mods.
Broken Bow.
No, not those. For the other, for Philip.
Oh, that's in Kansas.
Kansas, yeah. No. So opportunity is crazy for that. And that's the reason we opened that is because we want to help that space out. Yep. And
I wanted to go back to a topic that we kind of left because it's super important, right?
I think he left it out for a reason.
I left it out for a reason. I hope we don't get heated, but no, nothing crazy. But right now, we just, in the beginning of the episode, we talked about, man, this is such a booming month for us, but actually not just a month, but just a booming year in general. Mm-hmm. We've gone through so much pressure, so much conflict, so much change, but the outcome of that was the best year Saddlebrook has ever had in mm-hmm. an industry that right now is kind of stagnant. So what I have heard a lot is, I am not going to buy until the election is over. So my real question is, does politics have an effect on our industry?
It does. I mean, for sure, for interest rates, you see that for the biggest. I mean, I'm hearing rumors that it's going to come down. Who knows? Who knows what the Fed is going to do with the rates? You know, there's a saying, Chris, that I always say.
Date the rate.
Date the rate. Marry the payoff. So let's say however this election turns out. Let's say materials go skyrocket like they did back in COVID. And so when I say date the rate, that means you're going to date the interest. And it could be a few years, but the payoff is really what matters. So if you spend $120,000 on a house that in 5 years might be
worth, if it's 9% might cost interest.
$160,000, well, you can refinance in 2 years for a better rate. Let's say it comes down back to 4, right? So you bought a house for $120,000, but then 5 years from now, or even a year from now, it goes to 160 because the materials just skyrocketed. You know, gas prices went mm-hmm. back up like they were in COVID. Well, transportation goes up. Everything rises and falls. And so when I say date the rate, marry the payoff, is the payoff stays the same. You can refinance for minimal cost. And another statistic that you can research, Chris, right now we're at the lowest refinance in years, the lowest. So nobody
no
is
one
refinancing
is going back. Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, if you bought a home in 2020 for 2-3% interest,
2.99 interest rate, you're not going
to refinance.
That's true. So that's politics do get, they affect the interest rates. You know, like you just see the cost.
Yeah,
are you paying like your grocery costs? I went to Walmart and $100. Like you
it's
spend
more.
$300.
It's more about the policies and regulations that each administration puts on. Like,
so elaborate on that. What policies?
So regulations is if a different, like a state or a county or a city or even the United States, and it's really state by state that have the regulations. So it's honestly more about your local administrations than federal administrations of what codes they pass. There's some major things that you can pass through Congress and all of those bills that you can pass per state. You know, you can get into all of that. And I think they're already looking at that. I mean, they all came out and said we're 3 million short. Doesn't matter which administration.
3 million what?
3 million homes short.
Okay.
And, you know, each administration, they want to build homes fast.
Can we build 3 million homes?
not in a year, no.
Sorry to cut you out.
But both parties recognize there's a housing shortage. And the biggest shortage is the interest rates. Like, our inventory is stacking up. Like, there's getting more and more inventory. It's the interest rates and the payments that people can afford.
Entry level.
Yeah, that's what I want to kind of cut in on, comment on. People are sitting on a bunch of money because they're scared. Yeah. I'm going to say this right now. We're kind of at a point of inflation where it's stagnant. Correct. It's stagnant. This is the best price you're going to get. To be honest, if you're looking for a home, now is the best time to buy. Where interest rates are high, you're a cash customer, you need a home, buy now. As soon as those interest rates hit 2, 3%, our home prices are going to skyrocket.
Yep.
Because why? If you pay higher for your home, but you're financing it, you're only getting a 2, 3% interest, but you're paying $30,000, $40,000 more for a home.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage anyone who is looking, if you are sitting on cash, you are scared about this upcoming election, buy a home. Buy the home, because as soon as those interest rates go down,
there's an old saying, you know, they ask the question, Chris, when's the best time to plant a tree? Well, the answer is 10 years ago. You know what the next best time is?
Now.
Today. Yeah.
Because you're building equity. You're not.
And it's the same thing with a house. You know, when's the best time, you know, 10 years ago? Obviously, when's the next best time to build a house and buy a house? It's today.
Yeah.
Do we honestly think that in a world like we're at today, you know, with the dollar where it's at, you know, everybody says, you know, 50 years ago, what was your gas price in the cents? Now it's in the dollars. It's the same way with anything that you buy today. if we all could go back 10 years ago and pay for the gas that we paid for back then, obviously it's a lot better, or even 50 years. But like they say, when's the best time to plant a tree? Well, it was 10 years ago. You can't go back in time. So when's the next best time? It's today.
Nice little tree.
You didn't plant that one.
That's true.
Yeah. That's a fake tree.
Yeah.
That thing was planted probably from Amazon.
Yeah.
That's an Amazon plant.
That's an Amazon tree. They planted it yesterday and it grew at the same time.
There you go. We're being creative over here.
So if you want something, you want to plant a tree today and buy something fake.
Yeah. There you go. Make your own tree. Make your own.
But no, I mean, I understand people. It does matter.
And politics do scare. They do scare people.
Like, well, it's not even that, but like, your question is, when's the best time to buy a house versus now, or do you want to wait till after the election? You know, I was talking to a guy this morning. What can we do personally for election cycles? There's not much that each individual can do except vote. That's it. The other thing is, you know, you try to, you know, build and live your best life every single day. That's the only thing that we can do. We can make a positive change today with the people that we meet, the people that we're going to meet. You can make a positive change their lives today. And you have to live your life according to what happens to us. You know, a lot of people say stuff doesn't happen to you, it happens for you.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that gets thrown at you, it's happening for you, whether it's a negative or a positive. And it's how you respond to that.
You're either a victim to it or a victor to it.
Right. And it's how you respond to that. And, you know, I can't change inflation. Chris, you can't change inflation.
No, sir.
We're dealt with what we're dealt with today. And if you, you know, it's really goes back to your family. Does your family need a new house?
Yeah.
Do you want a first-time home buyer for you and your spouse, or you and your girlfriend that's about to get married, or, you know, you have a family that you have to support? No matter what the question is or why you're buying a house, doesn't matter if it's a Saddlebrook home or, you know, a regular stick-built home on a HOA somewhere in the United States, 10 years from now, that same house is going to be worth $100,000, $200,000 more.
And that's just the truth.
That's just where the economy always goes.
Yeah.
Houses rise on average 5%, 4% to 5% a year. That's the average truth. It doesn't matter what politician's in office. It doesn't matter where anybody's at. We, as everyday Americans, we can only control what happens today, and we can live our best lives today.
And I think people 40, 50 years ago, when they were buying gas for 5 cents, they couldn't even imagine gas would reach 50 cents, 60 cents.
Or a loaf of bread. You know, they were not paying
so
5 cents.
What do you tell to the people that are, because we had a client that, hey, we're going to wait till the election. What do you say to those people that are like, they're right on the fence of saying,
choice, Kyler.
Yeah.
If that's the best decision for their family, they have to make it.
Right.
We cannot influence their decision. We're there to help, and that's it. We're not there to sell anybody. We're not there. We're there to help.
We touched on that.
And hey, if that they might have made the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, if you know, nobody can see your bank account. Maybe the IRS. That's about it.
The IRS is looking at your bank account.
But I mean, Chris, you
we're going to
every,
digital currency.
Every human human has to make currency. The decision for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes us, you know, more unique is, you know, our we were talking about the other day and it's saying that, you know, are we really selling or are we selling a dream? Like we're showing them a dream, like, hey, this is possible for everybody.
It's a movement. That's what it is. It's a movement. It's a movement movement into affordable housing in a world economy that everyday Americans cannot control. You know, we're handing it, you know, they're handing it to us. What can we do tomorrow? What can we do today to change inflation? We can't. But we can make and decide the decisions that we make today, Kyler, that will benefit us or hurt us in the next 5 to 10 years. I think most people, you know, every 4 years there's another administration. Or, you know, if they, let's say every 8 years. You have to make the decision that's best for your family today, that no matter what administration is in office, you made the best decision for your family today. That's the only thing, Chris, that you can control. Yep. Or Kyler, that's the only thing that I believe that you can do today that's going to matter, you know, matter in the next 5 years or 10 years.
Exactly. And I'll say this, like, we don't push anybody to buy a home. If you don't need a home, there's no reason for me to sell you one.
No,
absolutely not. You're not our target people we want to help. We want to help those people that actually
want to
buy a home.
And hey, if you want to wait till after the election, that's great too.
But I'll touch on that too. So people who are saying, I will wait till the election are also the people who are saying, I will wait till inflation goes down. I will wait till I get a better job. I will wait till my daughter gets out of college. And I'll say this, we were on a call with Evan Macklin the other day, and he said something super important because we are not trying to influence your decision, but we're trying to educate you. He said this, there's three decisions. There's a good decision, there's a bad decision, and the worst of them all is indecision. That's kind of in the world that we're
indecision.
Yeah. And that's the world we're stuck in, where we're so indecisive with everything. We say one thing Monday, and then Wednesday we think another thing. When you come to us, we help you with that. My goal with my customers is to sit them down and clear their minds. Hey, you don't need this, but you do need this. This is the
choice. Right. And it's, you know, in an industry like we're at today, you know, we're industry leaders.
I
could say
I disagree with you, but I'd have to agree with you on that one.
But you have, the only thing that we can do to both of you is we can educate. And that's the power of choice. You know, God gave us the power of choice. At the end of the day, we can't sway your decision. We can only educate you on the information that we have today. And that's where it leaves us. Absolutely, I agree on your three pointers there. Indecision is, you know, is why a lot of people are where they're at today. But
it comes
they
from
can decide today
not being
to
educated. It's not right. not it comes from not being educated, and that's our. I think that's the. I mean, that I know that that's the reason we started this podcast.
So
is
people
to
are
educate.
Indecided because they don't know enough.
Right. Right. Because we're the experts in this area. We've been in it for over 6 years now, or what five and a half years. We've seen a lot. We've seen a lot of people get scammed.
We've seen the downs.
Right. So, I mean, we've changed how we build. We've said, hey, we want to build better. I know there's a better way to build to get us like the same way a stick built home would be built. We want to build it on a frame of skids and get it shipped out there. In that case, we got to build it stronger because we're going 55, 60, 70 miles an hour down the road. So it's got to be built better because it's got to stay in place.
Right.
So we've educated ourselves on what are the do's and don'ts. What do people want? What don't they actually like? What's going to last a long time? What's not going to last? Can we build with cheap materials or do we want to build with the higher end quality? Is quality important in this day and age? Is the being spray foam insulation being to lower electricity bills, to lower all your expenses? Is that important? We've figured those things out. Have we lost some money in the meantime? Yes. So I agree with all that we're talking about, but it comes down to one thing. It's those three things. It's being that indecisive is not being educated. And that's the reason we started this podcast is
and
not just our customers, but the customers that are buying from areas that we can't deliver in right now to make that decision. If you're going to a company, to do the homework, to look at.
Yeah, do the homework. But also, I mean, at the end of the day, Kyler, you know, we just don't want the customer to be undecisive. Like, we want them to feel like they made the right decision, whether that's a yes or a no. Yeah. In any home they buy. It's not, this podcast is not about saddle work. This podcast is to educate and educate the people in this industry buying the affordable housing.
I think he disagrees.
I'm not going to say anything. What I will say is this. I 100% agree with what you're saying. It's not about Saddlebrook, but when people think of the Tiny Home Podcast, I'm sorry, but they think about Saddlebrook.
Well, it's of course. It's
right. So when they want to come by a house, they want to come to us. Why? Not because we're better than anybody else, but they know that they're going to get well taken care of.
Back to a trusted brand. Exactly. We are a trusted brand. And that's what most people
I think you got him convinced that it is like Saddlebrook is a movement.
It's powered by Saddlebrook. Yeah.
It's a movement about educating you guys that are watching this.
We can't.
Why are you getting red?
I'm not getting red,
guys. He's getting like.
No, I'm totally.
We're gonna have to fact check what he's saying
because thousands of a modular manufactured and tiny homes sold last year. Saddlebrook cannot build every single one. So that's what I'm saying is
that is
even if we built.
Well, we could go buy
a gigafactory like Tesla. Let's say we built a gigafactory like Tesla, okay? We still could not solve the crisis on our own.
So what would you say the fix, like how can we solve this, the affordable homes,
it's education. And that's what we're doing here. But
and
no
that's
matter
not just
what,
the customers, it could be to
but take a look, take
people
a look
that
at,
are building other,
take a look at Tesla. You know, they're industry leaders in the electric car world, but they're not the only ones building electric cars. There's GM, there's Ford, and multiple others.
Yep.
There's no way that, you know, GM is going to take over the world economy on cars and trucks.
But the reason there's so many brands is because they're not working together. They're competition.
Right.
How do we create this brand where, like, hey, Saddlebrook doesn't want to be your competition? Let's work together and solve a housing crisis. Would you ever consider that?
Absolutely. Why not? I mean, we're coming together for a common good that helps everyday people just like me and you. I mean, listen, Chris, you grew up in New York, so I'm not going to make fun of that.
All right. Here we go.
But, you know, me and Kyler, we grew up in DeKalb, Texas. You can research. It's maybe a couple hundred population. And it's in a cities like this.
There's four people in DeKalb. I know two of them.
There's more than four.
There's five.
But I don't even think there's 1,000, maybe, in the city limits. But it's towns like this that I want to recognize and say, we want to help everyday people just like me and you. Mm-hmm. I mean, Amazon started in his backyard. You know what I mean? And he changed the e-commerce industry.
One team, one dream.
Yep.
And so, like, we're everyday Americans solving a crisis that is for everyday Americans. That's the whole end goal, is how do we help people in our communities, people in rural areas, in cities that they can't afford a $2,000 rent? I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, you looked at moving to Dallas, which I thought you were crazy for, but you were looking at a one-bedroom apartment studio for, what, $2,500
a month? $2,200 a month.
And it wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
Just a studio.
So, like, we're reaching out to people in the city limits that want to, like I said, on multiple podcasts, they want to move out from city limits and grow a family on an acre, on 2 acres, on a half an acre that builds a lifestyle that America was built on.
Family and faith.
Family and faith.
So we're bringing the American dream back.
It's what I call, Kyler, the affordable American dream.
But remember, the American dream was always affordable.
And it's still alive. Like, people all the time say the affordable American dream isn't alive.
But we are.
It's alive every single day. I see it every day. There's still entrepreneurs out there. There's still business owners out there.
Yeah.
And there's still everyday Americans that have hope. And that's what I want to instill in this podcast, is give hope to those who need it. Mm-hmm. People in this day and age, Chris, you know, if you talk about politics, affordability, groceries, gas prices, people need hope.
Yeah.
People need hope. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to give people hope.
Because we come from
that. There is a better tomorrow. It doesn't matter what the current administration is. or the new one, or the new one in 4.5, 5 years.
Yep.
It matters on what you can control today, and if you can take care of your family today and make the best decisions for you your family today.
Yep.
And I think that's why
that's going to impact you the next 10, you know, the next decade.
Yeah.
It's super inspiring when Kyler talks about his chicken house story. I mean, you look at him now.
And he used to milk cows.
Yeah, he's, I mean, look at the.
So I was out of school by 13.
Done with school.
I was done with school.
Just dropped out.
Done, dropped out. Small town. We didn't even have a red light in our town. I had a cow. I was milking a cow. I had chickens, so I bought chickens from Atwoods or Track?
No, it's a farmer's market.
I hatched my own eggs. I bought the eggs and then put them in a incubator, whatever they're called. Had my own chickens, sold eggs at the farmer's market, and that's how it all started. So the reason we're so passionate, the reason Colton's saying, hey, we're so passionate bringing that to give y'all hope, no matter if you're 13 years old or 18 years old or 50 years old, the American dream is still alive. It's up and going. It's make your decision. What's the best decision for you and your family? And today. If you're today, you can't dictate on who's going to be in the next election. Can you go vote?
Yes. Even if you had a last, bad 5 years,
yeah.
It doesn't define you.
I didn't have the best moments. I worked in a chicken house making $250 a week. And that's
also touch on, we're having the best year of our life. And I wasn't here last year, but touch on last year compared to this year.
We got
year.
Like 3 minutes, but yeah, go ahead.
Last year, it went through a shift of, I think last year and the year before last is really after COVID is when these modular and mobile home really took off. I mean, America's been buying mobile homes for years.
Yeah.
But I feel like the movement has been exposed, and social media today is way bigger than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Like everything's on social media. That's how the world has changed. Yeah. That's how the world looked at news.
And I feel like we went through a season where God was saying, developing us as leaders, developing us as the expert in this industry, and not going bigger, not going wider, but going deeper and building a foundation.
A Christ-centered foundation.
Because our number one core value is not Christ-centered. I remember sitting down I call her G Mama, but she's it was our first coach.
Shout out G Mama.
That we hired. We spent several six figures. We were sitting down and we were going over our core values on who we want to be as a company. Who do we want to be known for? And that's when we came up with Christ-centered, and we had some opposition because being Christ-centered, that's a lot.
It holds a lot of value and a lot of weight,
but then hold accountability and stuff like that. Are you living Christ-centered? And I remember us making that decision, and that's right before 2023.
And on our last podcast, or on the one before last, Stacy called me the other day, and she was like, because I think she's 55 or 56.
He's good at interrupting. I was on a good topic, but go ahead. I'll let you keep on going.
And I was talking.
I hope y'all get a good laugh out of that.
I was talking about
not Christ-centered.
Industry destructive, bro.
I was talking about the 55 and older communities, and I was calling them older, and she's 56. So she calls me the other day, and she's like, so do you think I'm old?
Straight up called you out.
Called me out. I want to make it clear. I did not mean old. You're just a different generation. We're the millennials. It's an older generation, but you are not old.
We love you guys.
It's definitely
we have a lot of honor. Honestly, sitting at her table with her and Larry and figuring out who we want to be, I think that season, we talk about last season, we were not, there's a lot of people that didn't know about us, but me and him had to go through a season where we had to develop ourselves. I remember I asked her, I said, what do you think's one thing that I can change? And what'd she say, Chris?
Yeah, drop your ego.
Drop your ego. And it was, beginning, you go from making the, you go from a small town, you go from this, and then you start building homes, you start, doing that, and your focus gets off track. And that's just that shift of last year going, who do we want to be known as who do we not want to be known as Saddlebrook? We did a total rebrand on who we are, who we want to be known for. And that's the reason, we're at where we're at is because we put in the work. We did a lot of work with the brand and saying, hey, this is who we want to be known for. We want to be the home experts, bringing education, inspiration, and motivation to people that feel like they're in need. They need hope. It's because you can. You can make the decision today to help your family. It is your decision. It is not too late. No matter how old you are, if you're 55, it's not too late. We had the guy behind the camera, Zeke, we had a customer come in. It was 6 o'clock on a Saturday. And me and Zeke are still at work. And the customer was like, and hey, if you're listening to this, you're probably going to be listening to this. She's like, you wouldn't have to be here, but I want to be here. I want to make a difference. And that's who we are. Is we wouldn't have to put in all the work. We wouldn't have to do the research. We wouldn't have to do everything. You could look at it. We were talking yesterday. We could quit, like, not even keep on growing into all these other states and say, like, hey, we did it. We're done.
Yeah.
And we could be like, we don't want to grow a team. We don't want to help more people. Me and Colt, we can sell a couple hundred homes a year. We can do that and be good. But it's different. It's when you change your perspective.
It's a movement.
You want a different movement, but you don't want to build a business. You want a movement that moves the kingdom.
I always say we're not building a business or a company. We're building people.
Yeah.
And it's...
It's to honor him and it's to give him glory.
And you know, before we close out, it's different because a business creates jobs, creates, you know, all of these other things. But we want to create more than jobs. We, you know, we're a family here.
That's a lot. You know,
a lot of our people, like, let's say people out back that are actually building these homes. One guy back there, he's been working for us for 22 years. The other people... 4-5 years ever since we started, and they're still here.
Love those guys.
We're building a family. Yep. And even with you guys, like, we're building a family that we're changing people's lives. It's not about, you know, it's not sure, you know, there's money to be made in every job that you have. Mm-hmm. But I want to create something that's bigger than a 9-to-5. It's what they call, I think there's a book that they call 459ers. You know, they come to work. And they're only here, and when 459 hits, mm-hmm. they go home, and they in this repeatable cycle.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It's that fulfillment side of it. Are you on board with a company that has a mission, that has a goal? And there's two things, and this is for all business owners. And this is the two key things that we had to learn. I told the people that came in. I said, there's two things. If I would start a business, if I would go into another business, if I would come help you with your business, there's two things. Number one, core values and culture values. There's two things that I would change immediately. Those two things will elevate your business because it gives you purpose and it gives you a mission.
And
that's what people want to be a part of.
People can find it.
Right. And I say to all of our customers, when you join our family, you join our mission. You join the mission that we're on is to bring value and hope back to America.
Yep. And to make some closing statements, right? You said there's money to be made, and people, obviously there's money in any business. But if you ride with us, if you ever join our team, if you ever join our clientele, you'll realize we're super relentless with what we do. We're like a bull, keep on smashing barriers, keep on smashing walls. But why? Why are we so relentless? Because it's not about the money anymore. It's about the purpose. Mm-hmm. And when you realize the purpose you have here, you feel, when you come in here, you feel like you have purpose. You feel like you matter. And that is the most beautiful thing about Saddlebrook. You matter here. You have purpose here. And what we're doing is super insane. I know we're going to reach the moon. What do they say? Reach for Mars and fall on the moon. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Let's go.
Any closing remarks you guys want to make?
I just want to say, like, if this podcast has helped you in any way, like, share, and subscribe, number one. But number two is, you know, if you want to join, if you're in this area, if you want to join a great team, you can send your resumes in. We're actually hiring right now as well. And so if you want to join a great team with a great movement,
Where
people actually care about you.
Yeah. We want to grow.
Reach out.
We're family.
Yep. And yeah, we talked about teachers, the opportunities for teachers, for schools. And if you're in a state that we currently don't serve, reach out to us anyway, and we'll see if we can either help you or we can find a company that can serve you in those areas. Yep. We'd love to help. And if there's topics that you want us to go over on, what our beliefs are, what we're talking about, you know, what we're educating on, because it's all about education, inspiration, and motivation. So I give like to every American out there that's living the American dream, that working, that's working every single day, that there still is hope. There still is a four words. The future is bright. The future is bright.
Yep. Well, thank you guys. I mean, I think we had such a killer episode. This it was awesome. Fun. His cheeks got red. I mean, you were interrupting too, but it's all right.
He interrupted me like four times.
All right. All right, guys, let's end this episode. Yeah. But guys, if you enjoyed this episode, like Colton said, like the episode. Comment down below. It helps our algorithm reach more people. And if you have a question, comment that. And if you know someone that this can help, share the video, share it. Come on, don't be selfish.
Saddlebrook Life. Saddlebrook for life. Saddlebrook for life.
Yeah, and that's the Tiny Home Podcast, guys. Until the next one.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.